And now I'm going to invite Sheila to come up to tell us a little bit about Christmas in Ghana.
Christmas in Ghana. Christmas in Ghana is just like Christmas everywhere in all Christian nations in the world. We embrace and hail the birth of our Savior and Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also thank God for seeing us through another year. It is particularly a time of giving, to emulate God giving us his only Son to come and die for our sins. Presents are given and received. Families come together to celebrate. Church services and parties are held across the country, mostly dressed in white to welcome our Savior. That is the culture, our culture when a child is born. We slaughter goats, cows, and chicken for our Christmas dinner. Turkey is not our traditional bird. Prices of anything needed for Christmas are hiked instead of going on sales as it is here. We reflect on the year to make our New Year resolutions. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This Christmas season, consider God's goodness as you reflect on the year. In doing so, you create a mosaic of great beauty with your words of praise. Merry Christmas, everyone. Amen.
All right, now we have another reflection from around the world, and this time it's from Singapore with Pam.
Right, just a quick one about Christmas in Singapore. When Rosemary asked me to sort of have just a few words to say about it, and you know, what are the differences that we want to think about, what Christmas is like around. Well, for one thing, it's not cold. You're out in the tropics, and we're not all huddled in overcoats and anoraks, you know. But like Sheila, we remember brightly colored clothing, your best Sunday dresses, such a colorful sight, as opposed to sort of dark overcoats. So Christmas in the tropics is hot, which makes singing in the bleak midwinter a bit odd. Nevertheless, it's actually, funnily enough, one of my favorite hymns. So, regardless of, trying to sort of picture, frosty winds, iron-hard ground, so carols like In the Bleak Midwinter and Good King Wenceslas has a funny meaning, or people don't really sing that very often. Just two things I wanted to sort of reflect about Christmas, and that is, one is the place of music at Christmas. One of the things I dearly miss, I mean, I know we're singing carols in church, but is going caroling. And I know we did that some years back when Baytree House was still open, and a group of us would go there and sing. But that is something that is a tradition in most churches in Singapore. Every Christmas Eve, a group of us teenagers, young people, from what is the Methodist Youth Fellowship of our church, we would go caroling. What the church members would do is, if you'd like to invite us, put your name down, and we will. And normally there's quite a large group, so we'd have like two buses. We'd hire two buses. All of us would wear, girls would wear white, as Sheila sort of reminds us, of the angels. And we'd spend weeks practicing, the alto part, the soprano part, and the bass and the tenor, and we'd all get in the bus and we'd start off at about 5 in the evening, and it would go on, and we'd sort of say, oh yes, well, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Richard Poe, yes, that's right, refreshments are served, and their house is really the best to go to, so we'll all time to go at about midnight at his, because there are lots of lovely things to eat. So, you know, refreshments are provided. We'd sing a carol as we, you know, sort of get off the bus, and we'll rearrange ourselves, and we'll process into a person's home, and it will sing. And there'll be just, you know, short prayer, and we'll invite, you know, the members of the family in the house to choose a favorite carol. More often than not, it'll be, "O Come All Ye Faithful, Joy to the World, and Hark the Heralds." So we don't sing a lot of "In the Bleak Midwinter." and this caroling would sort of go on till, well, sometimes till about 5 or 6 in the morning. So it's an all-night affair. And for those of us who are in the choir, we would also, another musical tradition in the church that I used to worship in Singapore is there used to be a Christmas cantata that would be sung. And we'd spend weeks practicing because there are two services. The youth choir takes, you know, the early morning service. So Christmas Day is, you know, it's a combined service. And so the youth choir and the adult choir would join together, and we'd sing a Christmas cantata. And even through this day, I still remember certain words of some of the songs. And it was, oh, you know, who's going to be Mary? Who's singing the part of Mary this year? And the wise men. And one of the songs I still remember is, you know, "How Should a King Come?" And that is something that we ask ourselves. We say, Jesus is the long-awaited king. You know, how does he come? You know, if you ask a child, it's, you know, oh, it's tinsel and bright castles and white horses, you know, a magnificent castle, wonderful presents, you know. But it's different for us as Christians. Our king came in a stable. His mother wearily trotted along and just managed to get into a stable. So that's one, you know, tradition that I remember. And of course, what would Asia, you know, be like if not for food? So it's the Asian flavor, obviously, is, I think I remember that, you know, when I was young, I mean, in Singapore, you don't really have Christmas dinner in turkey, so on and so forth. I think Mr. Poe's house that we would go to, he would always make a huge, you know, roast a huge turkey, which was wow to all of us. And we'd love to go to his house caroling and, you know, have little bits of turkey and a proper sort of English sort of feel to it. But I suppose as Singapore is, you know, sort of gets more westernized, you do get, you know, you can find a Christmas dinner with turkey and the trimmings and all that if you went to, you know, say a restaurant in a hotel or something like that, just as you would here. And you could stuff yourself with turkey and trimmings and mince pies and all that. Out there in the heat of the tropics, yes, you would be eating Christmas pudding after all. So those are just sort of two reflections. But when we think about, I think just the last point, that when you think about, you know, this idea of, you know, what's Christmas like around the world, and is it that different? Maybe we should start thinking about what is similar. What are we here celebrating about? And I just thought I'd sort of end with, you know, instead of anything different, what is similar? And I think probably what is similar about Christmas, whether it's in Ghana, in Singapore, you know, in the Outer Hebrides or in the South Pacific, is that Christmas is a time when God showed his total commitment to us. He didn't just come, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, the Israelites built a tabernacle and God came. Once in a while he came, cloud cover, and you know, oh, God is here. But Christmas marked the beginning of God's total commitment. He came, God with us, all the time. Isn't that what Jesus is called? Emmanuel, God with us. You know, that's the kind of commitment. He came committed to, and his commitment was so great that he didn't come as a conquering hero or king. He came as a child, to grow up as a man, to feel hunger and thirst, pain, betrayal, all the things, all the emotions that we humans feel. It's God with us, his total commitment. And what's important is that, you know, I know it's Christmas, but when you think about further on, Easter and Pentecost, not only God with us, but in Pentecost, God in us. And that's Christmas. I was blessed to be there last year, obviously, when my mum passed away, and you know, so I sort of celebrated Christmas the Singapore way last year, which was good, and it sort of reminded me of all the things that I used to do when I was a youngster.
We now have our third reflection, which, as you may have gathered, is from Sylvia, and I've no idea where they may be coming from this time. Sylvia.
Well, we're going back to the warmth of Christmas, aren't we? As with Ghana, as is with Singapore, Christmas in the Solomons is hot time of the year. Actually, any time in the Solomons is a hot time of the year, and any time in the South Pacific is basically a hot time of the year. The central thing, which we remember at Christmas time, of course, does not change. The central thing, the birth of Jesus, is what's the important thing at Christmas time. But Christmas celebrations in the Solomons are fairly different, I think, from our celebrations here, and different in some good ways as well. A lot of the things that we associate with Christmas simply aren't there. So in an ordinary village Christmas, for example, you're not going to have Christmas decorations, you're not going to have Christmas cards bought, sold, or available. You're not going to have Christmas trees, Father Christmas, very little giving and receiving of presents, certainly no coloured lights. You're lucky if you do have electricity, and certainly no rush to do any Christmas shopping, because you've probably only got one local store anyway, and there's not much there. Now, maybe that sounds a little bit on the negative side, but of course it doesn't mean that Christmas people don't enjoy themselves at Christmas. So what do they do that's different? Well, the main thing, which happens before Christmas, is what we've just heard about in Singapore, and that's singing Christmas carols. People don't prepare refreshments in houses in the same way, but particularly the young people, again, like to go around singing carols, and if they do a good performance, a good bit outside the house, then they may be given a pawpaw or a watermelon or some bananas or something like that. They get a gift for doing good singing there. The main problem that I always found was that people think a good time to start their carol singing is about midnight, just when everybody's gone to sleep, in fact. So the polite thing to do, of course, is if the carol singers come to your house, wake up, get up, welcome them, listen to them, maybe give them something, and then off they go. And you get several lots doing that one night. It's not always the most polite welcome that you're going to get. Also, of course, people do prepare food for Christmas. That's a part of Christmas preparation. And in quite a number of villages, they will prepare a feast for the evening of Christmas Day. But basically, it will be ordinary things like rice and sweet potato, fish, chicken, maybe, vegetables, maybe, and fruit. And the main thing I think that will be associated with Christmas food-wise would be watermelon, because it happens to be the watermelon season. So that's always popular for a Christmas feast. Nobody's ever seen or heard of a turkey. So things like that don't appear on the menu at all. If it's exceptional, then there might be a pig that's slaughtered, but other things, no. And also, the thing which people have mentioned too, except that you've both mentioned wearing white for Christmas, is special clothes. But the idea in the Solomons was basically you'd have something bright and colourful rather than white particularly, but that you would have new clothes for Christmas Day, a new dress or a new shirt or something to wear. So people sometimes called it Rane Poco Vangura, New Clothes Day. And that was important too, preparing the special clothes. One year when I was staying in a village on Choiseul Island for Christmas, we got to fairly far on Christmas Eve, in fact, and there were two little girls living in that house, and nobody had had time to do their dresses for Christmas Day. So I got presented with the material, a sewing machine, and go to it. No patterns or anything. And I was up till nearly midnight that day sewing these dresses for these two little girls. But anyway, they looked all right in the end, and they were very happy with their Christmas Day. And after that, we went carol singing, the midnight bit. On the day itself, of course, the main thing is the Christmas service, and usually the Christmas service with a church that's full to overflowing with people. So the overflow will be hanging around outside and sticking their heads through the windows, which anyway don't have glass, so being part of the service there too. A couple of hours would be a fairly short Christmas service. Nobody's rushing home to cook a Christmas dinner anyway. And, of course, there will be lots of choirs and lots of extra singing. Same style there. So we see some things in common there. After the service, the rest of the day usually has a program of fun events for everyone to join in. So there might be football matches, netball competition, certainly dancing groups, traditional dances, dances made up especially for Christmas Day, with the words about the Christmas story. Older men seemed to rather like tug of war, and that was very competitive. Canoe races, sometimes even swimming races. a program that went all day with then the pause for the food and things as it was getting dark in the evening. Now, I also spent one Christmas staying with a family in a village where the people actually came from Kiribati, from the what was the Gilbert Islands. And their ways of doing things were quite a lot different to the Solomon Island way of doing things. On Christmas Day, we had a combined service, the Solomon Islanders and the Gilbertese. And on Christmas Day, they had combined activities, dancing together and all these other things. But in addition, for the Gilbertese people, there was a lot of emphasis on the singing and dancing. And they had a singing and dancing competition that lasted for a week. I was there for part of it, not for the whole week. And it took me a while to cotton on to the fact that there were three different villages and they were competing against each other. I sat with the judges a bit, not trying to judge, but sat there with them. And these singing seemed to go on a long time, and a long time, and a long time. And they said, oh, well, it's because each item they're singing twice. The first one is the warm-up one, and the second one is the one on which they will be judged in the competition. So they're doing it twice over. And there was a lot of preparation in that household for the singing and dancing. And that included making the outfits for the singing and dancing. And I think Grace is going to come right up here and help to model the outfit that the daughter in that house had for her dancing. So mum's job in the week before was to make the grass skirt. And there's a heck of a lot of work goes into that. You have a look at it close up afterwards and you'll see each little separate bundle carefully knotted on. So that's a part of the dancing outfit. Let's see. Grace happens to be about the same size as the girl that it was made for, which is very handy because I don't. Not anymore. Right, so we're off. Grace just stands right up here at the front, and then they have ornaments for arms sometimes, and definitely something attractive on your head, and that was also made for that was actually made for me as a thank you from a Gilbertese celebration in Kiribati. So just stay there for a minute, yeah. And we'll keep watching. But in the Western Solomons, where I was, there's actually another day of the year that's celebrated in almost exactly the same kind of way. And it's celebrated on the 23rd of May. So they have three big celebration days or times, Christmas, Easter, which is a bigger celebration than Christmas, and church anniversary on the 23rd of May. And it's not the anniversary of any particular church or building, it's the anniversary of the time when the first missionaries took the gospel to that area. And that was the 23rd of May, 1902. And they went to a small island, very close to the small island where we were at the school, in the same lagoon area, And they stayed, first of all, on that small island until they made friends enough with the local people, because the local chief was not enthusiastic about their arrival, even though they'd been invited by others, Solomon Islanders. The local chief was not enthusiastic, and the people in that area, in Roviana, were some of the best, most efficient headhunters and all the rest before the coming of Christianity. So wisely they stayed on the island where they could protect themselves more easily. And today, over 100 years later, that day is still very much celebrated as the day when light came to the Western Solomons. And in many of the hymns and services and things at Christmas and at that time and at other times of the year, the picture which is thought about and shared is the picture of the old days being days of darkness, and then the coming of the gospel and the coming of Jesus as a new baby into our world being the coming of light. Until when I first was there, and for as long as possible, on anniversary day particularly, they would ask one of the older people, and it was normally one of the older men, to talk about what things were like before Christianity came and what things have changed and the differences made. And more than once they had to actually stop the man doing too much talking, otherwise the service was going to go on and on and on. You know, they would talk forever on that subject. So it's not really surprising that Christmas Day and Anniversary Day are celebrated in much the same way. It's the same kind of coming of light into a dark world that we remember at Christmas time too, with God sending his son Jesus. And this is what John writes about at the beginning of his gospel. Let's just remind ourselves what he says. Before the world was created, the Word already existed. He was with God, and he was the same as God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. God sent his messenger, a man named John, who came to tell people about the light so that all should hear the message and believe. He himself was not the light. He came to tell about the light. This was the real light, the light that comes into the world and shines on all mankind. The Word became a human being and, full of grace and truth, lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. So as we remember the light of Jesus, the light of the world, coming into our world as a baby on that first Christmas day, let's remember that he came not only to be light for a world in darkness, but also to be light in each of our own lives. And let us remember that we also can only fully know that joy of Christmas when we've invited Jesus to come in and be that light for ourselves. So when you go home and switch on the Christmas tree lights again, Just think about the moment when Jesus came as light to a dark world.